The text for the sermon is taken from the gospel. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The resurrection of our Lord was unlike anything that had ever happened in the history of the world. There had been resuscitations before, as when Elisha raised that young boy from the dead, or when Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. But both of those people had to die again. They were not new creations, but their souls were summoned back to them. And that word resuscitation uses the Latin verb stem setare, to summon, as its root, because it's summoning the soul back into the body. But the word resurrection, it comes from a very different Latin verb, sugere, which means to rise again, like Jesus did, which has an inherently different emphasis, one on newness, on a new birth, on new life. Jesus' resurrection, which we are now celebrating throughout this Paschal season, is instituted something completely new, as new and profound as creation from nothing. He ushered in a new reality. And I use that term reality because the resurrection of Jesus Christ transforms our temporal reality, since he instituted new rules, such as eternal life, sacramental life, and even new rules for his physical body. I want to tell you the story of this new reality by looking at another word. It's a Greek word that shows up only 3 times in the Greek Bible. The word is emphusao. And by looking at its 3 appearances, we will see what the resurrection of our Lord means. This verb is a compound verb. It's composed of 2 separate words. And the actual root of it, the stem, phusao, means to puff or to blow, to swell up. It's used in the applied sense, like to germinate and grow even, to sprout and produce, literally. And then it's used figuratively in other forms. The prefix m just means into. And so this verb has the idea of breathing or blowing life into something. And so the first time it's used, I bet you can guess, is in Genesis. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This breath of life is something special when compared to all other creations, for only in man did God breathe life. And that life is his very own life. It's divine life. And God then puts man and woman in the Garden of Eden to not only tend the garden, but also to be with him, walking with God, without shame and without fear. But as we well know, Adam and Eve went against the guidance of their Creator. They ate the fruit of the tree. Their souls were wounded by their sin, and no longer could they be present with God without fear and shame. They were exiled from the garden, and their union with God was now hampered by their own festering wounds. They needed healing, but man, on his own accord, could not heal himself. The second use of emphusao in the Bible comes to us in Ezekiel's vision, which was one of the readings this week for morning prayer. When the prophet Ezekiel was born, which was around the 620s, in Jerusalem, King Josiah had instituted sweeping cultural and religious reforms in order to restore the nation of Israel to keep the commandments of the law. It was a revival, and the city was thriving. The people were enjoying the peace which their king had brought to them. That safety, though, did not last very long, and Ezekiel saw with his own eyes the destruction of Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians, and he himself was carried off into exile into Babylon. Ezekiel wrote down his vision of the valley of dry bones while in that exile, while he yearned to be back in Jerusalem in the presence of God at the temple. In his vision, Ezekiel walks through a valley, and the ground is covered with scattered bones. He tells the bones at God's command to put themselves back together. You can kind of hear the rattling, the sound of all the bones making their ways back into these skeletons. And then God puts flesh on those skeletons. And finally, he breathes new life into these bodies. Emphusao. It's a striking vision. It's a vision of resurrection, a new body and a new life. But today, in our Easter season, we're not looking at a prophecy. We're looking at a historical account. We no longer hope in a vision, but look towards a person. We do not have a dream in front of us, but a real body, the body of Jesus Christ. And now we are confronted with that body in the upper room with the apostles in the gospel today, which, to no surprise, brings us to this third use of emphusao. We find the apostles back in the upper room, that same room where Jesus had washed their feet and had celebrated the last Seder meal. And John tells us, to no surprise, that the apostles are afraid. They're afraid still at this time of ending up like Jesus on a cross. They're afraid that their fellow Jews will turn them in. They're afraid of what the Romans will do to them. Like Adam and Eve after the fall, they're now hiding in their fear and shame. Like Ezekiel, they're in exile. And the gospel account, though, now completes this grand chiasmus that Jesus recapitulates the error of our first parents. And so when Jesus comes to them, he offers them first peace, a fulfillment of a promise he made back in John 14, but also a fulfillment of Ezekiel's vision and an answer to Adam and Eve's sin. Peace is an antidote to fear, the very thing that Adam and Eve longed for. The power of death, the power of shame, held Adam and Eve in fear. But the presence of the resurrected Jesus brings new life to the apostles and destroys the power of death and the feeling of shame. After that greeting, John writes, "When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." This is the same word used in Genesis and in Ezekiel, emphusao. And first, we should notice that Jesus' action, it's a divine action. Only God can breathe life into his creatures. And second, we should notice that the apostles are given a new spirit, the Holy Spirit. When Adam and Eve sinned, they could not stand in the presence of God without fear and shame. They needed to get back to God, but they could not now as a result of their sin. And now the God-man fills the apostles with his own spirit so that they can once more walk with God. Look at what power then Jesus mentions at this time. "Apostles, now whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." God has lifted up mankind into his life by giving them his spirit. And Jesus has reversed the sin of Adam. And as a result of that power, the apostles now have power and command over sin. I want you to think for a moment just how amazing that is. The full gift of the Holy Ghost, of course, will come at Pentecost. But it should not pass us by why Jesus breathed his spirit into the apostles now for the sake of forgiving sins. This is exactly what Adam and Eve could not do. It's what they wanted, what they needed, but they could not. Sin held them. This is exactly what man now needed in order to re-enter into a proper relationship with God. In the history of the world, man could never before have that power over sin. And so this is a start to a new reality, a reality based upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reality in which we live, a reality that can transform just our day-to-day life. And by transform, I mean in the sense of how Jesus' resurrection transformed his very own body. So while it was recognizable, it was no longer bound solely to temporal constraints. He seemed to be able to move at an instant between places, to walk through a wall, and that was all right. Do you see how it's been transformed? It's a new reality. And so likewise, our reality is transformed so that our day-to-day life no longer has to be determined and bound to sin and death. This is the truth, and it can set you free as it did the apostles. And next week, we will look more at what living within this new reality looks like by seeing how the apostles radically changed their lives, how the first Christians lived a life so transformative, so different, that people could not even guess what they were going to do. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.